Well, welcome again to our study on the Gospel of Matthew. And we have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount the past few weeks and also on the healing power of Jesus. But now the mood changes, if I could say this, in Gospels, Matthew's Gospel. And essentially, it starts with the thought of what we should be doing. We see what Jesus has done, now what should we do? And we're looking now at chapter 9 and verse 9, where we see Jesus passing by in the street, and he sees a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Well, we should first of all mention this thought of at the receipt of customs. This man was called a publican. And essentially what happened in the Roman Empire, they employed natives of each country to collect taxes for the empire. And they were permitted to keep a certain percentage as a recompense for doing this work. But these publicans were often very covetous, not very good men, and essentially what they did, they overcharged the population and became very rich indeed. And therefore they were hated by their countrymen. And so often we find in the Gospels that publicans are linked with sinners in the thought of the Israelites. And so, you know, Jesus chose the most interesting of people to be his disciples. There was Peter and John, Andrew, James, who were fishermen. And here was Matthew, who was also called Levi. And he was a publican. He was an accountant. Then, of course, you see others that came along later after the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the people like Luke, who was indeed a physician. And so there were all kinds of people Jesus drew from all aspects of society to be his followers. Anyway, here we are with Matthew, who is also called Levi. And he said, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And then Jesus came to eat in the house. And many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. And there you see publicans and the sinners, you know, are, shall I say, associated one with another, because the publicans were very covetous. And here he is sitting with these people that were absolutely hated by the religious people of his day. And then they said to his disciples, Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? And Jesus heard what they said. And Jesus responded, Look, they that are whole need not a physician. After all, you don't go to the doctors if you're fit, do you? You go to the doctors if you're sick. And so he was saying, in effect, you know, that he was a great physician and he had come to heal, as it were, those who were sick. Not only those who were sick in body, but those that were brokenhearted, those that were sick, if I could say this, in their souls, sick in their spirits. Those who were overcome by all kinds of sinful habits and so forth. Despair, despondency, perhaps taken, you know, an addiction from some drug or so forth, and Jesus had come to heal them. And that's what he said, you see. And he said now to these scribes and Pharisees, he said, go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You know, the scribes and Pharisees were very insistent on keeping the law of Moses and tithing and so forth, which is important. Please don't misunderstand me, because if you tithe, you'll find that your bank balance will rise and that you will be well provided for. And if we keep the law and if we do tithe, you know, what David said will apply to us. I've never seen the righteous beg. But to these religious leaders, he said, look, I want mercy. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that is the thought. You know, William Booth, founding the Salvation Army, was once asked, well, General, where the majority of your people come from? He said, the down and outers. The ones that inhabit the taverns, the prostitutes, and people like that. He said, they will listen to me. They're in need. They're sick in their souls. They're bound by sin. He said, and when I preach the gospel, that's what they want to hear, they accept. And so, you know, I've come to call sinners to repentance. Well, I want to move on with the thought of this calling, you see. Jesus, you know, said, and I want to jump now to verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, Isaiah the prophet likens us to sheep. And sheep are very interesting animals. They are completely defenseless. They virtually must be guided. They must be cared for. And without a shepherd, they cannot live. They cannot really forage for themselves. They get caught up in thorn bushes and the like. And they're powerless to escape. No, we all are like sheep. And you know, that's what Jesus was called, the Good Shepherd. He had come to look after his sheep that were scattered all over the place. There were no true pastors at the time of Jesus. You know, he said that he was a root out of a dry ground, meaning that the spiritual state of Israel was certainly not good at the time of Jesus. And with us too, what is the spiritual state of our nation? Well, here we are in the United States, and the spiritual state is very poor indeed. And everything has been, shall I say, removed, all the boundaries removed. And now, you know, sin on every side is accepted or excused. But we are like sheep who are scattered. And truly, there are very few good shepherds in America. Very few who would tell the people the truth. Very few people to stand against divorce and remarriage. You know, Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He made it very clear indeed. You know, if somebody's divorced and then they remarry, whoever marries a person who's divorced committeth adultery. But today, all that is excused. No, there are very few good pastors who will tell the people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Apostle Paul made that very clear indeed, and he said, I have not hesitated to tell you the whole counsel of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, with all his compassion, did not diminish the gospel one iota. But he told people, you know, unless your righteousness exceedeth the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And then he said, many shall say in that day, have we not, you know, done miracles in thy name, healed the sick, cast out devils? And he will say unto you, you know, I don't know you, ye that work iniquity. No, when revival comes, it's like a net ministry. And people indeed will be brought in from every spectrum of life. But then, Jesus said, and then the angels will come. And they will separate the good from the bad. Yes, we've got to understand this, that sheep need shepherds that will tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And this is what he goes on to say. He said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are very few who would tell the truth. And he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, I want to give you a scriptural, shall I say, picture of a true shepherd. And we find it in the book of Malachi the prophet. And in Malachi the prophet, in chapter 2, the Lord is speaking about the fact that so few are indeed telling the truth. But then he says in verse 4, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, and that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that was also the name of Matthew. He is called Levi in another gospel. And so often people did have the tendency of having two names, like we have two names. I have Brian, I have John. But sometimes you're called one, sometimes another. But Matthew was a Levite, and he was called Levi. And I want you to see what the original man, Levi, was like. And in verse 5, my covenant was with him. You know, this is what you have to have as a pastor. You have to have a covenant relationship with the Lord. You are in covenant with him. He makes promises to you. And here are the promises, life and peace. You know, you have to have the vibrancy of the life of Jesus flowing through you, the anointing of God flowing through you to be a true minister of God. Then something else you have to have. You have to have peace. Peace. Now, peace is a very interesting virtue. Peace means oneness, whether you say it in, Hebrew, Shalom, or in Greek, Irene. It means the same, oneness. In other words, you are at one in your body. It's like King David said, oh, unite my heart to fear thy name. You know, a person who's at peace is a person who is united. He is at one. He is a whole person. He is not divided in his heart. He is at one. But not only that, you see, a person who has the peace of God is also at one with the Lord. And he said, can two walk together unless they be agreed? A person who has the peace of God is one who is in agreement and who is walking with God. Amen? All right. And I gave them to him. Why? You know, what is the price that we have to pay to have the life and vibrancy of Christ in us and his peace? Well, it is that we must fear his name and was afraid before my name. And that means a reverential fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord means to hate iniquity, hate sin, and love righteousness. And here was the minister of God, Levi, one who had life and peace, and who feared God, who walked in the fear of God in a way that he wanted to please God at all times. And that is the interesting thing about Jesus, you know. Jesus did not try and please people. Jesus had one purpose, and that was to please his heavenly Father. And that's what a minister of God must have. Not a desire to please people, but a desire to please God. And in pleasing God, he will tell the whole truth to the people. Well, then in verse 6, we continue with this description of a true minister of God, Levi. The law of truth was in his mouth. You know, that's a wonderful covenant that God makes with us at times. When he puts his law or his word into our mouth. And that is one of the covenants that God makes with his people. That he will put his word into our mouth. And not only that, into our seed's mouth as well. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to reproduce spiritually or naturally, and to have our spiritual children or our natural children have the word of God in their mouth. It's an awesome thing. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. In other words, he told the people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, there's a scripture, and I'd like to turn in Deuteronomy with you. And it's a very interesting scripture where, in a very real sense, we come face to face with what is right and what is wrong. And you know, so often a multitude will do that which is wrong. And it speaks in a very real sense in Deuteronomy that we are not to go with a multitude and do that which is wrong. But rather, we are to at all times do those things that are right. And in so doing, you see, we have the blessings of God. We have the blessings of God. Don't go with a multitude and be a false witness, but rather stay with the Lord and be a true witness. You see, an iniquity was not found in his lips. Now then, we go on. And they should seek the law at his mouth. In other words, you know, before we preach, before we go into the pulpit, we are to seek God for his message. Because we are the messengers of the Lord. You see, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And therefore they shall seek the law at his mouth. You know, we are not to preach out of our own heart, as it were. But we are to preach the message that God would have us speak to the people at any given moment. And you see, these are the type of people, you know, that we should indeed be. And look what he says. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. And that is the purpose of a minister. It is to turn people away from iniquity. And then, as we continue, you see, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, should keep knowledge. That is one thing I have found in life, that people start right, but they don't finish right. There are all kinds of temptations in life that allure people from the pathway of righteousness. You know, King David said in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, he said, the pathway of the just is a shining light that shineth more brightly unto the perfect day. But many people start on the pathway of righteousness, but somehow as the light increases, they can't stand that greater light, and they turn to the left or to the right. They don't have a consistency. They don't have a continuance in their life. You know, by patient continuance and well-doing, you know, putting one foot in front of the other and continuing on that pathway of righteousness, not turning to the right, nor turning to the left, not heeding the allurements of this world or, you know, the praise of men. So many people want to be praised for what they preach. But, you know, we want the praise that comes from God. And as Jesus said, how can you believe if you seek the honor that comes from man and not from God? Oh, beloved, you know, at the end of our lives, who are we going to meet? Are we going to meet men? No, we're going to meet the Son of God. And he will say to us, you know, either well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, or you sought to please men rather than pleasing me. Oh no. Here is one, Levi, who is approved of God. You see, but the others, he said in verse 8, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. And then what does he say? Therefore also I will make you contemptible and base before all the people. According as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in my law. No, we do not want to turn from the way of righteousness, but we want to continue in the pathway that is good, the pathway that will cause others to come to the Lord. And then we come back to Matthew, because as this chapter closes, you know, we realize this, that there's a call of God upon our lives, a call of God upon our lives. And we are told, in a very real sense, that we are to pray that the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is great. Revival is coming. You know, in America, the statistics are that something like 34% of all Americans claim to be born again, whether they're walking uprightly or not. Well, that is for the Lord to judge, not us. But 34% of Americans claim to be born again. 34% will say, yes, I am preparing for the kingdom of heaven. But I believe also that, you know, revival is coming. And there's going to be a mighty harvest, not only in America, which is surely a Christian nation, in spite of what the president says, that we are Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus. We're not. We're a Christian nation dedicated to God, dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a sheep nation, and as such, we should live in an atmosphere that indeed promotes the kingdom of heaven. Well, there's coming a revival, and God is going to have a mighty harvest. But you know, he needs people that are going to bring in that harvest, who are going to care for the sheep that are birthed in the harvest. And for that reason, we are told to pray that God will raise up laborers, raise up laborers, raise up you, raise up your husband or your wife, you know, to be a father and mother in Israel, one who will care for the new ones. You know, I've been in places where revival has been given and the pastor of the church has been wholly overwhelmed by the number of people coming in. And he has had a good infrastructure and he has had people trained in his church that are laborers and are able to teach the people, the newborn people in Christ, the word of God. And so I'm closing with this appeal to you. Why don't you cry unto the Lord, "Oh God, here am I. Make me a laborer in your harvest, that I will prepare myself to become a father and mother in Israel, that I might care for the newborn Christians in Christ, and I may need, you know, help from here or there, and you will have others helping you bring in the harvest, but you will be able to train them in the ways of God. May God grant that you be one of the laborers in the harvest that God is going to have in these last days. Become a teacher of righteousness. Study now, prepare yourself, that God can say to you, yes, like he did to Matthew, follow me."